Duckett Jones made the study possible.
Yes.
And probably, if it weren't for T. Duckett Jones, I think we would never have gotten started. Not at that point. But I went into New York after having received a letter from...
What's his name?
You know, this was the guy who was the editor of, publisher of American Mercury magazine.
Oh.
And then he was on TV for a second. At any rate, I went in to see him because he had asked me if I would write a...
Write a summary of the article.
I said, look, I'm just not at a stage when I said, a year or so down the line, I might be in better shape. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, what shape are you in? I said, terrible. I said, I just got a refusal for the ongoing work from the study section. I don't know what we'll do. We'll try to get some source of funding, but it was just a flat no from the NIH.
At that time, they didn't have to explain and justify so much.
Not so much. No. Oh, I forgot this guy's name, American Mercury. And then
Spivak,
yeah.
Oh, Larry Spivak.
Larry Spivak,
yeah. Yeah, sure, he was with my line and all sorts of things.
Right. So Larry Spivak picks up the telephone, and he says, talk to Mary. I didn't know who.
Mary.
And he gets her on the phone, and he says, Mary, I have John Goffman in my office. You ought to see him. So I'm not listening on the telephone. Larry Spivak would say, yes, yes, but you have to see him. And today... This went on for about 5-7 minutes, and whereupon I was sent off to see Mary Lassen at her home. And she said, I know a little bit about your work, and I understand you're having trouble. I mean, Larry Spivak told me. She said, how do we do this now? How do we do this? She said, the man that I think we ought to talk to is T. Duckett Jones, who's professor of rheumatology at Harvard. Picked up the telephone and got T. Duckett Jones' phone. She got him down there. And we talked. And I think there was one evening was left over. I came back to Mary's. And Duckett Jones said, I think I mentioned this in one of the writings you have. Duckett Jones says, John, the problem is you need help. I said, I'm not sure what you mean. do you think some of the data are handled poorly? No, he said, it's nothing like that. You just need help. You cannot do something of this magnitude without help. And he said, it can't have this study be University of California donor lab. It's got to have at least two or three names, places. Mary sat in on this thing, and she said, well, what do we do about it? He said, well, you can name two or three groups of people who might be interested in this. And
we'll, page and so on.
Yeah, we'll set up a project. It won't cost the government $70,000, which what they had turned out, it became $280,000. So when it became part of this T. Duckett Jones suggestion. And Irv Page and Lena Lewis took on the thing at the Cleveland Clinic, and George Mann and Stair. Joseph, what's his name? I can't remember. Diabetes man at Pittsburgh. He was asked if he'd do it, and he said he would do it if Max Laufer, who was a professor of biophysics, would take on. And that's how it got set up.
Did Paul White have any input at that stage?
Not at that stage, although he agreed that when the final protocols had the findings, either coronary disease or whatever, based on this much and not this much, Paul went over all of the...
The endpoint thing. Well, I was talking about his general support, because at that time he had some sort of quasi-official position with the Heart Institute.
Yeah, well, he was, I would say that Paul White was, here's somebody out there on a cloud very capable. He wrote the then leading textbook on the heart. He was very friendly all the time. He just seemed to be friendly with everyone. Nobody could find anything wrong with Paul Dudley White, except for one little thing. Mary called me up and said, we have to go into Congress. They're discussing the appropriation
for NIH.
We need more money, and there's got to be a powerful presentation. That was the one where Sam...
Rayburn.
Okay. Took us to lunch.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
With Mary, and Mary was
and
telling...
And you?
Irv Wright,
okay. What a crew. All you need was Lyndon.
We were all were just talking. Paul White was the head of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, Paul White, you know, he's out there on a cloud. Very sharp, but he asked him a question. He said, oh, yeah, I can tell you about this, and he will. Well, at any rate, the hearings got started. Irv Wright talked. I talked, and so someone else talked, and then Paul White was going to wrap it all up. Paul White was on his cloud. He just couldn't get the message as to what question they were asking of the Congress.
So he wasn't responding.
And he wasn't responding, and Irv Wright looked at me, and Mary...
The whole thing was going down the drain.
Well, it just... You don't take a man like Paul White and tell him what the question is. You just cannot do this. Irv Wright would try a little thing. It went on for quite a while. And finally, at one point, Paul White just lit up. He finally understood. gave about 10-minute oration. And that's how we got through that hearing.